Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football, men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Styles. Please be joined, as always, every Wednesday night with Gary Dolphin. Just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk France down here at Carlos O'Kelly's. Gary, how's it going this week?
Well, it's always great after you win, Brendan. Yeah, it was a little touch and go last week in Bloomington, but as I reminded people this weekend, would you rather feel good about a great effort against Wisconsin, but it was a loss, or about a hair-raising, heart-stopping, blood pressure-spiking victory over Indiana, where it was a victory? And most people are figuring it out now that when you're on the road in the Big Ten, doesn't matter where you're at week in, week out, there's a lot of good teams. I remind people Indiana's lost, what, three games by a field goal or less? Mm-hmm. And so that's life in the Big Ten. You're appreciative of the victories. Bottom line is they're 7-2. They still have only one loss in the Big Ten and go into another tough venue this week.
Just what do you feel that it says about this team's, like, I guess, character and just the confidence that it has? That because it's one thing they kind of touched on after that game on Saturday. They expect to win when they're in a situation like that. And as they showed, you know, you had Stansy deliver that touchdown pass to McNutt in the final minutes.
They do expect to win. I think a lot of it has to do with 26 seniors. We've talked about this. 19 of them figure prominently in the two deep. I'm counting the kickers like Daniel Murray and Ryan Donahue. And yet it was a freshman, Mike Meyer, who's a Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week for his 4 field goal out of 5 try effort. I don't want to make it sound like they're getting production from only the upperclassmen, because we're starting to see all these true freshmen and redshirt freshmen are playing are certainly contributing. So they're getting input. They're getting positive production from top to bottom on the roster, regardless of what year you are. It just so happens that the guys that are making the clutch plays, in the end, when the game's on the line, Stansy, DJK, McNutt's a junior, but also that offensive line has really stepped up and performed well the last couple weeks. And then defensively, they gave up some yardage plays on Saturday, but the bottom line is, Brennan, they only gave up 13 points. They pretty well contained an outstanding throwing quarterback in Ben Chappell, who's used to throwing for well over 300 yards a game. He was right around 200. They got less than 300 yards of total offense. And so I think when you look at the whole body of work, it was a good, solid effort on the road. Yeah, they'd like to score more touchdowns in the red zone. But let's not forget, they didn't have Adam Robinson last week. They get him back this week. I think that'll assert itself.
And I'll just jump right into that right now because you brought it up. Parents on radio show was telling you that A-Rob's been in practice the last couple days and has looked good. What is getting him back this week against a team like Northwestern, who he didn't play against last year? I believe Brandon Wager got the start. What is having Robinson do for Iowa in this particular game, considering the way Northwestern's played him the last few years?
It's huge. This is a much more, with all due respect to Marcus Coker, and he played well last week, 129 yards in his debut as a starter, but confidence is a wonderful thing, and I just think this offense is so much more confident when Adam Robinson is on the field. I think they trust him. He's equally good at pass catching as he is running the football. You'll notice the Hawks didn't run a lot of screens last week, and I think that was a byproduct of him not being on the field. That when you lob that little floater pass in heavy traffic, you want a guy like Adam Robinson at the receiving end. And I mean, the blockers just want to block more for him. The wide receivers downfield want to block more for him. And I dare say that two of those field goals would have been touchdowns last week with A-Rob in the lineup. But they had to hold him out. I mean, a concussion's a concussion. And I watched him in practice today. And, you know, he's got the red hat on the helmet. They're not letting him contact him. But 8, 9, 10 weeks into the season, there's a lot of guys that are off limits when it comes to contact in practice, because a lot of people are beat up. But boy, it looks good to see him back out there practicing, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up having him available for screenplays, because when I went back and watched Northwestern play against Penn State, one thing I took away was Penn State had a lot of success being able to execute screens. It didn't matter if it was a third and long or if it was, you know, second and five or whatever. It seemed like every time they were doing those on Northwestern's defense, they were able to get big plays. And, you know, if Iowa does implement that in the game plan. I could see that being big.
I know, right?
This Northwestern defense, I don't think is the equal of last year, and it's more than Corey Wooten's gone to the NFL. They lost five, sometimes six really good starters off that defense from a year ago. It's still a solid defense. Quentin Davies back. The linebackers are the strength of that defense. Vince Brown is maybe their best down lineman. They are suspect in the back end in the secondary, and I think if that's why having Adam Robinson back, showing run, establishing the run, will make Ricky Stanzi and that play-action pass even more lethal, and also will make the screen, more viable. And if you're going to throw screen, if you're going to run counters or run screens, well, you can't substitute for experience in that backfield. They've got it with Stanzi. They've got it with Allen Reisner. I wouldn't mind seeing some more tight end screens. And Brad Herman has emerged here the last few weeks. But Adam Robinson is the last key piece to that offensive puzzle. The way the offensive line is blocking, the way those receivers have stepped up, you know, what gets lost in the Marvin McNutt touchdown last week were the two catches by DJ K that took him from the 12 to midfield in two plays. And so I just see this offense on Saturday hitting on all cylinders, and that will only serve to fuel a really good defense.
And I just want to mention a couple other things here. First of all, on the show tonight, you guys had Barry Alvarez come on for a bit because he's going to be inducted, I believe, in his College Football Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
December 6th in New York. He'll go into the College Football Hall of Fame, much the way I'm drawing a blank. Our middle linebacker.
Andre Tippett.
No, our middle linebacker just went in. Larry Station.
Oh, Larry Station. Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to say Andre Jackson, but I'm dating myself. No, Larry Station. It's College Football Hall of Fame. Number of players and coaches going every year, and I don't think it's a big class this year. But Barry Alvarez, I thought it'd be kind of neat to get Barry on, have he and Kirk talk. Barry was the first one to drive to the airport and pick Kirk up in 1980-81 when he came to interview for the offensive line coach position, and that was Kirk's connection to Hayden Fry and to Iowa, and the rest is history, and he and Barry have remained very close since then.
And then the other thing, too, today Adrian Claiborne was named a finalist for the Lombardi Award. Just how would you characterize the season he's had? Because I hear, you know, people say, well, okay, the numbers aren't there like they were a year ago, but he's also drawing a lot more attention this year than he was, you know, his sophomore year or his junior year.
Double-teamed on almost every play. They'll chip him with a back and a tight end. I've seen three guys trying to block him in certain series this year. At Arizona, it was and still he gets held. He got held twice last week where he just stood there and stared at the referee. And it's beyond me why they don't call it, because typically the great players get those calls. And I know you could call holding almost every play depending on, either side of the line of scrimmage. Iowa could probably, they could find holds with the Iowa offensive line. But the great players get held a lot. And Adrian, I love him because he plays right through it. He's a high motor guy. He's playing at that one level, that one speed every snap. And when that happens, when great players command that kind of attention, you have guys like Christian Ballard and Mike Daniels and Broderick Benz and James Morris and others emerge, and they get in the mix more, and they have freer lanes to the ball carrier or to the quarterback. And that's what we're seeing this year. Yeah, what's he got? 2.5, 3 sacks, I think. He had 11 sacks last year. He's got, you know, a decent number on tackles for loss. But two things. He's being blocked with 2 and 3 guys in almost every snap, and teams are going away from him. They're running away from him. It's one thing to go after him, to go at him, but teams aren't doing that. So they're going to go pick on Broderick Benz or Mike Daniels, and that's no dessert cake. And so that's why Iowa's defense, I think, is as good as that defense last year, maybe even a little bit better.
Going back to this week's game at Northwestern, obviously the Wildcats have won 4 of the last 5 meetings with the Hawkeyes, and I know at his press conference yesterday, Ferentz is talking about how he feels it mainly came down to turnovers, Iowa having 9 of them, Northwestern just having 2. When you look back on the last couple years especially, do you really just attribute it solely to that, or are there any other, you know, factors that kind of stand out in your mind? I know obviously last year you had Stanzi getting hurt, but just what are some of the things you feel Northwestern's been able to do?
Stanzi's injury was huge, but I also remember last year a touchdown call back by a holding penalty.
Yeah.
I think it was a holding penalty. It was a penalty on Iowa. I remember that. That's huge in a 17-10 game. But Stanzi's injury was huge last year. Northwestern, they get you in that hurry-up mode with that style of offense. And Dan Persa is the latest in a line of quarterbacks who seem to run that that Northwestern pistol to perfection. And what they're facing this week, unlike last week, was you had a stationary quarterback and Ben Chappell, a guy who just throws. This week you got a guy that can throw the football. He's averaging or completing about 75% of his passes, but he's also rushed for 500 yards this year. He's got great feet, Dan Persa. He's probably the most elusive quarterback in the Big Ten in terms of quickness. His decision making is phenomenal. You know, he's a junior, and he came in, you know, his coming out party was last year when Kafka was hurt for the Iowa game. He had a bad hip, and Persa comes out and for all the scrambling and running he did, it was a one-touchdown game, and that go-ahead touchdown came off a Quentin Davey interception. So the turnovers have been big in this series. And like Kirk Ferentz says, you know, this has been a good Northwestern program for quite a few years now. I kind of chuckle when I hear some other members of the media talking to Dave Ennett, who does the Northwestern game, saying, well, you know, what is it about Northwestern and Iowa? Northwestern's really played well against Iowa here late. Have they kind of circled that game as their rivalry game now? And Dave Ennett's response is right on. He goes, well, you know what? Northwestern's been pretty good against everybody in the Big Ten of late. Now, they had a 21-0 lead on at Penn State last week, and Penn State found its mojo paterno, as I like to call it, scored right before the first half, and then kind of got Northwestern backpedaling and scored 35 unanswered points. But you go into Happy Valley and you're up 21-0 in the first half. I mean, that's impressive. They just couldn't sustain it. And that's where I get back to, I think their Achilles heel is the defense this year. They're just not as good defensively as they were a year ago, and I think the Hawks will take advantage of that.
You bring up the whole thing about them asking if it's a rivalry or not. Do you feel this has maybe become a rivalry just given how competitive the games have been between Iowa and Northwestern the last few years?
No, I mean, I don't think it's become a rivalry as rivalries go. I don't think it approaches Minnesota or Wisconsin. And, you know, if Northwestern's giving you their true feelings, nothing's going to surpass the Illinois-Northwestern rivalry because they're in-state. They're playing at Wrigley Field in a couple weeks. So that's their true rivalry. And quite honestly, if they were to have a natural rival, it would be Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 2 hours up, Interstate 94 to Madison from Evanston. So if you're going strictly geography, it would be Wisconsin and Illinois as their true rivalries. Now, what has happened is that when Gary Barnett came to Northwestern in the mid-1990s, early 1990s, and Northwestern really went through a woeful stretch there of the 1980s. They were getting pounded by everybody. Gary Barnett looked at programs around the Big Ten of schools where he felt he could realistically imitate and get players like School A or School B that would help him turn it around. Iowa was the first program he looked at. Why? Because he saw Hayden Fry come in there and resurrect an Iowa program that had been given up for dead for the most part. And look what Hayden Fry did in a short period of time. So that's Barnett marqueed the Iowa program as, hey, look, guys, if Iowa can do it, I think we can do it. Now, Iowa has much more tradition than Northwestern. That isn't where Coach Barnett was going. He just felt we're going to change our style. We're going to change our attitude and our mentality, and we're going to try and play like those guys. And that's how the Iowa-Northwestern rivalry has gotten so fierce over the years, is that they are two programs who do recruit a lot of the same kids.
And I'll just get you out of here on this. You know, you mentioned Northwestern's Achilles heel, or you believe it being the defense. How much of it is just a matter of Iowa simply going out there and being able to execute offensively in this game, especially when you consider that the forecast right now is calling for rain in the Evanston area on Saturday?
Well, I think it's everything. I think that, and I go back to Persa and his elusiveness. They cannot run the ball consistently. They just don't have the running game. They'll try it, But they just can't consistently, and they know they're not going to run the ball consistently against Iowa. So Purse is their guy. He's the drinkster. He's the trigger of that offense. Well, the best way to nullify him is to keep him off the field. And that's where Iowa, as good a throwing team as Iowa's been this year, particularly if the weather turns ugly along the lake, and it can in a hurry, they want to run the football. They want to pound the football, run the football, get scores off long drives. I do not think Northwestern can outscore Iowa. I think Iowa's defense will assert itself. I think this is an Iowa team that will be looking, particularly offensively, for a big bounce back Saturday, given what happened last week in Bloomington. I'd love to see another performance like Michigan State. That might be asking for too much, because it is on the road. And somebody asked me today, boy, you think they'll be overlooking Northwestern with Ohio State coming in next week? Not a chance. Not a chance. So you're right. Long time-consuming drives, pound the football, wear that suspect defense down, and then turn it over to Iowa's defense. Now, that said, they don't need 9 penalties for 65 yards. They need better kick coverage than what we saw last week in Indiana. Those were the only two things that were glaring, that and Adam Robinson's absence, but he'll be back. So I like Iowa's chances.
You can listen to Gary call the game at Ed Polak on the Hawkeye Radio Network on Saturday. Kickoff is scheduled for 11 a.m. Central. Gary, thank you very much for your time, and we'll be with you again next Wednesday.
All right, Brennan, we'll look forward to it. Thanks.